In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm taking the 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles because I believe it's something that the church does often. Let's look. About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He had James, the brother of John, killed with the sword. We remember that Jesus said the gospel would go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. And persecution starts in Jerusalem. It will go to Judea. It'll go to Samaria. It'll go to the ends of the earth. After he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Peter is the leader. This was during the festival of unleavened bread near the holy day of Passover. When he had seized Peter, he put him in prison and handed him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. Remember, the people are all excited about Peter, that even the shadow of his being would heal the people. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently to God for him. Now, this is something that's amazing because the church is praying with all its heart for Peter to be released. This is something that I want to talk about, and you're going to believe and see that the church didn't even believe that the answered prayer had come. They said to Rhoda, "You're crazy. It's not Peter. It must be his angel." You see, and we're just like that. When we pray and the answer is given, some of us say, "Well, it would have happened anyway." Oh, no. If you're going to take the road, it would have happened anyway. Don't bother to pray. Don't bother to pray. We do not want to be like the early church that did not believe that their prayers were answered. They did not believe it. They thought it was too big for God. Nothing is too big for God. Let me continue. That very night, before Herod was going to bring Peter out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers while guards in front of prison. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and the light shone in the cell. Suddenly, how wonderful. We love these suddenlies, and then when the Holy Spirit erupts and changes things. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him up saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to Peter, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel was real. That's another thing. You know, God intervenes in the life of Peter, and he doesn't even realize. He thinks it's a dream. I'm telling you, we need to know when God touches us. We need to know when God tells us to do something. We need to know that when God answers prayer, we give him praise. We need to know that God can do anything and everything because he's God Almighty. God Almighty, and he longs to do things. Peter didn't even believe it was happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. And after they had passed the first and second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them on its own accord. Things like that never happen. We have grocery stores. We go in and the doors open as we step near them. But they didn't have those during those days. But these big door opened to let Peter through. And they went outside and walked along the lane, when suddenly, another suddenly, the angel left him. And Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting." As soon as he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, John Mark. There were many gathered there, and they were praying. What do you think they're praying for? The release of Peter. It says they were praying fervently to God for him. My Lord, you would think they would say, "Hallelujah, let Peter in." That's not what they say. They say to poor Rhoda, the doorkeeper, "You're crazy. You're out of your mind. It must be his angel." When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid called Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind, huh? What's all this praying for? Prayer does things. Prayer goes before the throne of God. Prayer opens doors. I'm telling you, when we pray, we've got to believe that God is doing something. We have a young woman, her name is Anna, who has cancer, and her cancer markers keep on going down when she has blood tests, and no chemo is being given to her at this point. And the doctors say to her, "Just keep on doing what you're doing. We're praying for her. She comes every week. We pray for her." Same with Jean. We're praying for Jean every week that God would heal Jean. Why? Because God is big and he loves to heal his people. He just needs the faith of God's people to believe that our prayers do something. Are you like this group of people in the church that when God answers your prayer, you don't believe it? Oh, it would have happened anyway. No, no, no. No, no, no. Your prayer was ascended before the throne of God, and God answered your prayer. So your response is, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Someone called me and said, "You know, many years ago, you prayed for my legs, and I was totally healed. The only thing I could say was, 'Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.'" This is God doing these things. But she insisted that it was Peter. And they said, "It's his angel." See, they still don't believe. Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. Rather than saying, "Thank you, Lord, you've answered our prayers," they doubted that God would answer their prayers. This is too big for God. Nothing is too big for God. God is God. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described them for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, that he sent an angel who opened the handcuffs, and he was between two soldiers, and they kept on sleeping, and he walked through the bars that were open of the jail, and nothing happened to him. Then they went outside, and the big gate opened on its own. And what does Peter do? He goes to the place of prayer, where the church is praying, even though it doesn't believe that God can do these things. I know that God can do everything. We call Holy Rosary a cancer-free zone. Cancer has no right to grow in Holy Rosary. I believe that. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. When morning came, there was no small commotion among the soldiers. Yes, Peter was gone. What had become of Peter? When Herod had searched for Peter and could not find him, he examined the guards and ordered them to be put to death. Then Peter went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. I wonder where he stayed. Maybe in the house of Cornelius. I don't know. For Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. So they came to him in a body. And after winning over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, we have the king's chamberlain that's a Christian, they asked for a reconciliation because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat on the platform, and delivered a public address to them. The people kept shouting, "The voice of God, the voice of a God, and not of a mob, and not of a mortal." And immediately, this is another suddenly, because he had not given glory to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to advance and gain adherence. Why is it advancing? Because people are preaching the word of God even though they are persecuted. Then after completing their mission, Barnabas and Saul returned to Jerusalem and brought with them John, whose other name was Mark. Chapter 13. Now in the church of Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manamen, a member of the court of Herod. See, even Herod's court is being converted. And Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I call them." In other words, they got their marching orders from heaven. Where do we get our marching orders? Where do we get our marching orders? We just kind of say, well, this one should be here, and that one should be there. They got their marching orders from heaven. Separate Paul or Saul and Barnabas for a work that I'm calling them to do. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. We often lay hands upon people that are going away, going back to their country. We often do that, and we ask God's mercy on them and God's power. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Remember, salvation is to the Jew first, and then to the Greek. And they had also John, who also assisted them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they met a certain magician, bad news, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul Sergius, and Paul, an intelligent man who summoned Barnabas and Saul and wanted to hear the word of God. So the magician wants to hear the word of God. But the magician Elymas, for that is translated of his name, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul against their faith. But Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" In other words, the straight path of the Lord is Jesus. And here you are doing your magic tricks. They are nothing. They are making people go the wrong way. Now listen, the hand of the Lord is against you, and you will be blind for a while, unable to see the sun. Immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he went about groping for someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was astonished at the teaching about the Lord Jesus. In the synagogue they're proclaiming Jesus as the Lamb of God, who bears the sins of many. As the Lamb of God led before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. Then Paul and his companions set sail for Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. John, however, left them and returned to Jerusalem. John Mark left them. Paul was very upset about this. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. What do you think they're going to do in the synagogue? They're going to proclaim Jesus. But they're going to start with the history of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the officials of the synagogue sent them a message saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, please give it." Oh, I tell you, you never ask a prophet or a priest or an apostle to proclaim the word of God. They will always say, "Oh, you bet I'll do it." So Paul stood up and with a gesture began to speak. "You Israelites and others who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt." Yes, they multiplied like rabbits. "And with uplifted arms, he led them out of it for about 40 years. And he put up with them in the wilderness." Yes, when they worship false gods. "After he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance for about 450 years. After that, he gave them judges until the same time of the prophet Samuel. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. When he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my heart, who will carry out all his wishes.'" David was the man that when he sinned, immediately asked for mercy. A man after the heart of Jesus. Are you a man or a woman after the heart of God? When you sin, do you immediately go to confession? Do you immediately tell the Lord that you sinned? Do you immediately do that? "Of this man's posterity, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised before his coming. John had already proclaimed a baptism of repentance." That's the John the Baptizer. "To all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his work, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he, no, but one is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of the sandals of his feet.'" It all started with John. He is the person that bridges the Old Testament and the New Testament. "My brothers, you descendants of Abraham's family and others who fear God to us, the message of this salvation has been sent because the residents of Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize him or understand the words of the prophet that are read every Sabbath. They fulfilled those words by condemning him, even though they found no cause for a sentence of death." In other words, the whole Hebrew scriptures testify to Jesus, but they did not believe. What did they do? They asked for Barabbas. They asked Pilate to have him killed, and when they had carried out everything that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galatia, or from Galilee, to Jerusalem, and they are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring this good news of what God promised to our ancestors. He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising Jesus, as it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As to his raising him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, "I will give you the holy promises made to David." Therefore he has also said in another Psalm, "You will not let your Holy One experience corruption." I told you that for the body to start to corrupt, it took 4 days in the Holy Land. Jesus was raised on the third day before corruption entered his body, and he rose from the dead. After he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, he died and was laid aside by his ancestors. Who's this now? David. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, died and was laid beside his ancestors and experienced corruption. But he whom God raised up experienced no corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, my brothers, my sisters, that through this man's forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. By this Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from all those sins, and from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. The law of Moses condemned us, said that we were sinners. The blood of Jesus, what does that do? He forgives us. And that's the difference. He forgives us. What have we gone through today? The church did not believe, even though they prayed fervently to the Lord for the release of Peter. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. When God answers your prayer, clap your hands, jump up and down, and thank him. Sing hallelujah to him. Rhoda was the doorkeeper, and she came in and told them, "Peter is outside. You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind." She wasn't out of her mind. Peter was there. And when Peter comes in, I bet they're all embarrassed because they didn't believe that their prayers were being answered. We also see Barnabas, who is the encourager, and Paul being together to preach the word of God. What do? They go to the synagogue first, and then after the synagogue, they go to the Greeks, because salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Greeks. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, through your incarnation, through your death, through your burial, through your resurrection, bless your people today. Let them know how much you love them. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Totally, this broadcast is paid for by God's people. www.inseason.net. Go to PayPal to leave a donation with the grace of God. Our Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Do you know that your prayers are before the throne of God? Do you know that God hears and answers prayer? Do you know that God has a plan for you because He's in love with you? God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.